to Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Hey, all right, let's show them what we got here.
Out of the night and into the light, from out of the gloom and into the afternoon, from out of prison into freedom, from the pyramids of Giza to the pyramids on Mars, Antarctica underwater, in Bosnia and Mexico and China and everywhere else, from conspiracy fact to conspiracy theory, from Studio A to Studio B, from 2016 to 2021. From crying to laughing, from dying to living, from whenever to whatever. Yes, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com is very proud to present Pleased as Punch, Tickled Pink, and feeling so good they feel like they're on some medication. We are very proud to welcome back once again, the one, the only, Dr. Sean David Morton. Yeah, baby! Oh, welcome back, brother.
We've got it.
Yeah. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Today is the 7th day of January. It is the first show for me, the Right Reverend Dr. Rowe, officially on a Thursday night. This is Reality Extraction / Strange Universe. That's right. I think he's here. I think I have him. I think it is my honor to welcome back, yes, Sean David Morton. Brother, are you there? Testing 1, 2, 3. Okay, maybe his microphone is, he's there somewhere. Oh, he'll sneak on in. I think he is, maybe he's shy. All right, while we wait for Sean to sneak in the room, Greenheart One is in our chat room. We have, also, this is Revolution Radio. It's just like old times. Sean's got me all nervous and flustered. All right. Live radio, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, January 7th, and we are listener-supported here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, And we have in our chat room at chatsy.com/freedomslips. I think Sean is probably fumbling with his microphone and his headset. He's got his headset and he went, oh no, it's not working. It's supposed to work. Is it plugged in? Okay. We have Greenheart One in our chat room, Blasphemous Buddha, Dawn Ness, Sold My Soul, Chasing Star. I better go to the visitors list so I can actually see it clearly. I can see clearly now. Promet X, how are you doing? Promet X, we have Open Philosopher, Saul Rosenberg, Big D 1955, Captain Fred, Jenna Johnson. Why did I want to say Johansson? Anyway, is it Johnson or Johansson? It looks like Johansson. Yeah, Jenna Johansson. Anyway, an old guy, Sam Choppy Water, Poppy SJ, Toronto, The Mechanic, Comet, Rudolph, Mona Rattler, we've got Somebody, Cat Dog Girl, Flippy, Florida Woman, Eagle Flower, Cannon, May Street 139, Monster 383, Dry Fly Guy, and Valerie. Also, Batman Boots and Popsicle Toes, Not Much to It, Pat Rabbit, Gold Time, Kraken, Jer Cub, Wall E, and. Wow, it's a really, really full chat room. The Water Bearers Tribune. The Water Bearers Tribune. Doc Who, Michael Donaghy? Donaghy? Is Don? I'm sorry. Sorry if I mispronounce your name. Dirt Engineer 2, Siri Sunflower, DeLayton 73, Omega Logos, Dakine, Festus B, Stardust Man, myself, and In the Kitchen. Let's see, is Sean there? Sean, are you there? Okay, Sean, if you can hear me, type something. Oh, wait.
Okay. It's, all right. Hello.
The grand entrance of Sean David Morton, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we hear you. Hello. From behind the moon. He's in orbit. I think we have, no, we've dropped out again. This is just like old times. Yes. We heard a hello. See, I wasn't lying, ladies and gentlemen. I do have him by a thread. I think right now we're trying to put the starship right up and hopefully we can snatch him back into the cargo bay. He's drifting. Okay, I'm going to be quiet and see if we can catch him now. Tune the dials. Let's activate. Let's reroute. Reroute power to the septical receivers. Okay. Sean, can you hear me? Type something if you can hear me. Well, maybe he's on a phone. Maybe it's hard to type. All right. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Sean David Morton. You heard him say hello. And that's the show. Okay, on with other things now in the news. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to look at the news. I really don't want to look. Oh, actually, to be fair, while we wait for Sean to reconnect the wires, we should have made a test call. Huh? We should have made a test call. Oh, well. Live and learn, I guess. I heard some fairly interesting news. I wouldn't say it's good news. Well, actually, if you look at it from a perspective of what news we've had recently, it is good news, but you can be the call of that. It's an audio that I have here. It was from today, and it's a conversation between Simon Parks, Robert David Steele, and Charlie Ward. And in a little bit, I may play it. I wanted to play it and maybe discuss a little bit with Sean, if we can only get the audio of Sean. That would be really. Oh,
testing one two. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
My goodness. Okay, it worked. I can't hear you through my headset for some reason, but I can actually speak to you through the microphone. I don't know why I can't hear you through my headset, but is there an echo or anything?
No, you sound fine. Maybe it's some weird Skype audio setting, but you sound good.
Hi, how are you?
Sean, I'm great now that you are back. You know, I mean, welcome back. It's been a while.
I'm surprised you didn't play the Grateful Dead. What a long, strange trip it's been, actually. So that should be your bumper music for this. Mr. Rose, I wanted to say thank you for, you know, your letters and your support and your friendship. And I wrote, before I left this awful hellhole place, I mean, it depends on where you want to start the story at. But, you know, the only thing was nice is that I even had guys in the, you know, in the prison who said, you know, the one great thing about you, Sean, is you haven't let this experience change you. So I tried to help everybody that I could help. I tried to put everybody that was in my way. I did legal paperwork for people that that actually got them out of prison, which is another reason why they decided that they were going to come down on me and punish me, because they didn't like the fact that I was helping other people get out of jail using the law. But the only reason I'm here, I mean, the only reason the miracle of my being released as early as I have been is basically Donald Trump. And I'm not a big fan of William Barr, but a memo that he wrote that said you're going to let guys out of there, and and a once in a century flu pandemic, you know, all stuff that I predicted way back in 1994, all coming around in this particular time. So I do have throat cancer, very advanced throat cancer, and I've got this huge kind of golf ball sized tumor. You can probably hear it. That's pressing on my larynx and pressing on my vocal cords. And so you just got to be kind of gentle with me here. Sure. And I'll try to last as long as I can. And I told you, since you just shepherd me to what it is you want to know and how much of the story you want to talk about and how far you want to go back. And, you know, or we could talk about what's happening now, which is just watching the bad guys and the demon rats ratchet everything up to 11.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just harsh. And it was kind of strange because on the one hand, I mean, I was trying to keep my predictions up when I was out there. I was in communication with JP. Rumors of JP's demise, by the way, have been greatly exaggerated. He is still alive. And I got an email from him. And so people are saying that he's dead. He's not dead. He just got out of radio altogether because, you know, he wasn't making any money. And, you know, he had to get into other things. So you tell me.
It's definitely good to hear that JP is still among the living.
Like I said, you know, rumors of his demise have been greatly exaggerated. So we can talk about the revolt and the revolution that's going on. We'll talk about stuff that I predicted years in advance. You know, last year, you know, I told everybody that we'd see Amy Comey Barrett. You know, this is a year before it happened. Amy Comey Barrett went on the Supreme Court. Any blind man could see what the Democrats were up to. You know, I said that Trump would win in a landslide, but that, you know, the demon rats were going to come up with, you know, we're going to crank everything up to 11. You can see it coming. I mean, it's just that, you know, it wasn't like they didn't telegraph their moves way in advance. And but we're right in the space. I kept thinking to myself, well, maybe Trump is that alteration in the timeline. Maybe Trump is that amazing bright light, that shift in consciousness that's going to help us. And unfortunately, you know, evil usually triumphs unless good is very, very careful.
Yes.
And that's what you've seen. You've seen a complete – I think that Trump was guilty of the same kind of overconfidence and hubris that Hillary had in 2016, which resulted in her surprise defeat. And I think Trump was feeling the same way. I think he was he was getting all puffed up from all of the people coming to the rallies, and he thought, I got this thing in the bag. And he and the Republicans and everybody else just ignored the criminals like Stacey Abrams, who needs to be in jail, who like Gretchen Whitmer, who needs to be in jail. Like, you know, all these people, you know, coming down, you know, we can get into William Barr. We can get into Sessions. We can get into the fact. Let me put it to you this way. Trump is a fantastic businessman. He's an amazing negotiator. He really is a true American. For the first time, we've had a president. Well, I can't remember when. I think I would say for the first time since James Polk, you got to go back that far, or maybe Teddy Roosevelt, have we had a president that is truly an American and not an internationalist, that is truly about peace and not war, that truly loves this country and had the you know, the best interests of America at heart. I mean, you are talking about a multi-billionaire. You are talking about it who used to be a Democrat. You are talking about a guy who took money in the form of loans from George Soros and was cozy with Soros, who gave money to Hillary Clinton's Senate campaign, who went to Hillary Clinton's Chelsea Clinton's wedding, and then suddenly mysteriously becomes a Republican. He was going to run in 2012, and then he backed off on it and said, okay, well, I'll go in 2016 when the field's more wide open. So it's that he's a wonderful businessman, but he's not really a good politician. And unfortunately, when you look at all the Democrats, if you look at every Democrat in government, they're lawyers. All of them are lawyers. The Republicans are businessmen. They're doctors. You know, Rand Paul is an ophthalmologist, I think. You know, Ron Paul is a doctor, general practitioner doctor. But Republicans come from a bunch of different backgrounds. You know, they're baker, candlestick maker, Indian chief kind of. But the Democrats are all lawyers. And when you're a lawyer, if you see what the media is doing, you ignore what doesn't serve you. And you feature what does. You learn that's like the first thing you learn in court, that you ignore the other side's positive evidence and you just sweep them under the rug like they're nothing. And you point up your positive evidence. And let me link this to something else before we start on other things. The Republicans are now getting the same treatment, and I know this will make you laugh, are getting the same treatment that people in the UFO field have gotten for 50 years. Have you noticed?
Notice. Well, there are, I do see some parallels, yeah.
Can you not see them? The parallels are that we have evidence, but it's being ignored. We have eyewitnesses who sign affidavits who see things who are then laughed at and mocked, and the laughter curtain is then dropped. Tell me that what CNN is doing to the Republicans is not exactly – and I'm like, now the Republicans get to know how we feel. Now the Republicans get to learn how people in the UFO field who see things, who prove things, who are ignored, who are minimalized, who are mocked, who are laughed at. Well, now they get to see what it feels like after all this time. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I agree. You know, and boy, there is there's a line in, I think it's The Hobbit, and when the armies are on the field and it looks like it's lost, there's a line where Gandalf, I believe, says, "All is not yet lost. There is yet still another army on the way."
Okay, so let me burst some bubbles here. I want you to give me your theory as to why things are not let yet lost. And let me give you my past predictions that came true. On the radio, or not on the radio, but on phone calls that I did and in emails I sent out, I predicted Amy Coney Barrett would be the next Supreme Court justice. That was a year before Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. I said, look, she's gonna die pretty soon anyway, pancreatic cancer. I said, she's got a year with treatment. Amy Coney Barrett will be the next Supreme Court justice. I told everybody that gives them five Catholics on the Supreme Court. Those five Catholics are run by John Roberts. John Roberts is a radical Opus Dei Jesuit Catholic, which basically puts the Vatican in charge of the Supreme Court, and the Vatican, who are the incorporators of the government of the United States. The United States of America is a corporation.
Oh, remember the Vatican, folks. We're going to get into that in a moment.
Okay, and who is the incorporator? Who holds the corporate? Who do they have to incorporate with? The Vatican. And why is it the Vatican? Because the Vatican holds all these governments of the world in trust for the return of Jesus. It doesn't matter if you believe that or not, but the Catholics do. And I can prove it and I can show you. And we had a whole big thing. I remember when you and I were doing the show, you know, about how we were trying to get a hold of Archbishop Derek McLeod of the Washington, D.C. Archdiocese. And he was always at a pancake breakfast or Ireland or something trying to, hey, why is it you're listed as the owner of the government of the United States?
Yeah, just missed him.
I predicted the earthquakes in California, which are the biggest quakes in 20 years. I said they would happen at the very late part of June, and instead I think they happened on 4th of July. The cracked quakes that oddly enough came out of China Lake Naval Weapons Test Center. Nobody thinks that that's significant. Years ago, if people want to go on this, in something I did called the Vodger Chronicles in 1994. In that projection to 100 years in the future, I predicted 9/11. I predicted the Islamic Jihad would attack Washington, D.C. and New York. I was on hard copy, actually, I think in 96, 97, where I said it was going to be aircraft that were going to be used. I ran pictures of Osama bin Laden in 1998 that showed that he was going to be the one they were going to pin it on. And then I said in the early part of the 20th century in the Vajra Chronicles that would begin a series of plagues and viruses that would begin to kill people, kill mostly men, respiratory diseases, whatever else. And we'll go into predictions and all that about what's going to go on in the next 4 years. But as an overview of this, people need to understand that the average lifespan, basically the lifespan of countries, is 250 years. We're at 244. And there's a biblical reason why, because you go through cycles of 50, and if you don't do certain things every 50 years, if you don't declare a jubilee, give land and money back to the people that owned it, and do certain things, you enter 200 years, and then you enter a 50-year cycle of discipline, which is what they call the fifth cycle of discipline, in which your country is – in which people are enslaved, and your goods and services and your women and whatever else are taken off and enslaved, and your nation is destroyed. We're 6 years away from that now, and I'll give you the Mayan calendar. I'll give you the Night of the Jaguar. I'll give you why 2025 is significant. I'll give you why this year on the solstice we actually have the Christmas star, which is the conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter on December 21st, which actually happened on September 27th of 2 BC, which is when the Great Pyramid of Giza predicts the birth of Christ with his final enlightenment and demise on April 1st of 33 AD, dates given thousands of years before they happened in the pyramid that all turned out to be right. So let's talk about the Mayan calendar. Let's talk about the Night of the Jaguar. Let's talk about why the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction is important and all that stuff. So go and you tell me where you want to start and what you want to talk about.
Okay, real quick. Apparently, the story of what happened yesterday.
Yes.
You have all these MAGA folks, these Trump supporters that were descended peacefully, mind you, on Washington, D.C. And they marched peacefully to more or less to the White House or to the Capitol. And what you had was inside this group of folks, peaceful protesters or demonstrators, if you will, were supposedly some Antifa that were disguised as MAGA folks, right? And they were the ones that were supposedly causing some of the problems and the breach of the White House. Now,
were they the guys with the plastic shields that break in the windows? Because the minute I saw that, I said, "Wow, those are the Antifa guys. They've got plastic riot shields. Isn't that
fun?" It goes
fun?
Further. Yes, it goes further. It also embedded within this crowd were special operators, let's say some sort of special forces folks that were tasked with a certain job. When they went in to the Capitol building, a group broke off that were the special operators with one job in mind, and that was to seize a group of computers and some equipment. That they did. They got a hold of a ton of evidence. They got Nancy Pelosi's system. They got a bunch of others. And this now Donald Trump is with the military in Texas right now. Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to play. It's just 10 minutes. And I want to get your opinion. Plus, this is from today. This is a 10-minute conversation between Simon Parks, Robert David Steele, and Charlie Ward about what happened yesterday. And then let me play this, and then we'll see if we'll talk about it a little bit. So we're going to start.
Wait, next. So they confiscated all the computers of the congressional people in the Senate, because that's a whole lot of child pornography, man.
Yes. Now, this was apparently a trap, and this was a trap that was set, and they wanted to get some more information, which they got, and they wanted to make some links. Now, there have been some links to the Vatican and Italy about orchestrating this entire election scheme. So I'm going to go ahead and play this 10 minutes, and then we'll come back.
Okay.
Here we go.
10 whole minutes, huh? Okay.
It'll go fast.
All right.
But you two, I think, are particularly relevant to understanding three questions I'm going to ask each of you in a rapid-fire round. The three questions are, what happened yesterday? What's going to happen between now and the 28th? You get 3 minutes each for each of those. And then I'm going to ask you a third question, one-word answer, who will be inaugurated on the 29th? Charlie Ward, you go first. What happened yesterday?
What happened yesterday was one of the most beautifully planned traps you could ever imagine. It was set on purpose for a number of reasons. They needed certain parts of the puzzle because there was a change in the dynamic. They knew that the corruption had been funded by Soros, Gates, Obama, by a number of people that were corrupt. They knew the Clinton Foundation. They knew where it was, but they actually wanted to find out exactly where it came from. And it turns out it had come from none other than the Vatican. So they set the trap for this beautifully, but they wanted to find the trail of it. And I'm sort of half stealing Simon's thunder because he confirmed what I was going to say anyway. And what I'll do is I'll let Simon go on to that part because he knows the full detail. But the trap was set, they fell into it. The other trap that was set yesterday, which was an absolute peach, was when they stormed Capitol Hill. When they went in there, of course, all of Trump's supporters were peaceful. And they were pushing, but there was a group of Antifa people that came in there, but also there was a group of very active Trump supporters that, whilst in the building, managed to seize a number of laptops from within the building, which have a boatload of evidence. Nancy Pelosi was in such a hurry, she left hers behind. There's a very grateful Donald Trump right now, along with his team, that have got about a dozen laptops that were just left on the desk.
That's amazing. Let's stop there. I will interject one thing. I heard from a source that the George Soros raid on the Bank of England was a contrived black operation intended to fully fund Soros as an agent of the crown in the color revolutions and culture Marxism. So not only do I consider George Soros a traitor to the United States of America, but I consider the United Kingdom to be directly behind all of this at the highest levels. And Simon and I have agreed that 90% of everybody in MI6, and I love him to death, is a good person trapped in a bad system. All right, Simon, 3 minutes to you. What happened yesterday? And if you can condense your 27-minute thing in 3 minutes, that's great, because I have honored it by making it the top item in today's post.
Right, fine. 3 minutes. The important point I remember was that the same team that erected in California, over a major road in California, a massive signpost saying Trump, are the same team that constructed a wooden cross and carried that across. So there were special operations teams, as Charlie says, that were put in there not to cause violence, but to seek to gain information, because these laptops that the Dems have are given to them and they are all the same. They're all the same with their own code number in them. That was what that was. And in fact, even on Nancy Pelosi's office door, there was writing scrawled on there. So there was a lot of distraction there. I'm not 100% sure myself that those people who were killed were killed, and whether it was a black hat operation or a white operation. There's a lot going on. The whole problem on Christmas Day was the understanding that the Italian government, using a number of satellites named after Leonardo da Vinci, but were leased or are leased to the Vatican. So in other words, they come under the umbrella of Italy, but they're really run by the Vatican. This was the method by which encrypted information in real time was moving stuff across the globe. That's how they did it. And the difficulty is that Italy is a member of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Now, for people who are not understanding it, it's almost impossible to conceive of an ally doing this. So it changed the game completely. If it was Russia or China, it doesn't matter. But this is a government that the Italian government could fall. This could bring them down. It's also to do with the banking and that. So everything Charlie said, I totally agree with. And the operation last night also, actually, I would just add, Charlie, every legal option had to be tried. Every legal thing, so that nobody could turn around and say to Trump, well, you didn't do this or you didn't do that. And I know that Trump then went to Texas to one of the command posts, and I can tell you that, what time is it now? 5 o'clock our time. For the last 5 or 6 hours, there has been an incommunicado meeting in that base to decide what's going to happen.
Well, that leads to the next question, but let me also interject. Charlie's won his bet. At 1 o'clock, I'm interviewing Cynthia McKinney to discuss this having been a NATO Gladio covert operation, fully funded by the United Kingdom, and with the complicity of Germany and France. This is a huge, huge thing. And the military industrial complex is the one using NATO as a front to take down the president. At least that's what I think Cynthia is going to say. All right, here's my second question. This time we'll reverse it, and we'll ask Simon to answer first in 3 minutes. What's going to happen between now and the 20th of January?
If the people, the same people that convinced Trump to stand as president, if they are as good as their word and they don't betray him, then there will be an executive order, there will be martial law, there will be arrests, and President Trump will be reset for another 4 years. I did that within 3 minutes.
Yes, you did. And I tell people, let me say to everybody, I worship these two guys in a manly way. And you absolutely should be following them, and you should also be embedding their BitChutes, not their YouTubes, because the YouTubes are going to go gray one day. The BitChute, where the CEO is my personal friend, we may build Web 3.0 around BitChute. If people are looking for a place to invest money, that's the place to go. So, Charlie, then last word to you. Simon has revealed his answer to my third question. So the last 3 minutes to you, and then we'll close.
Well, very, very simply, Donald Trump has 4 aces in his pack, and he still has most of his pitch cards that he hasn't played. He hasn't needed to. And when I talk about the 4 aces in his pack, he's got the Insurrection Act, if he needs it. He's got the military. He's also got what people have overlooked, is the fact that the war was started, which is a biological warfare. That's a crime against humanity. So he has got many, many things, that routes that he could go. That's why he's taking time out today with his team to work out which is the best way. And he'll be sat with his team. He's probably got 4 or 5 or 6 options of ace cards on his in his hand, and he doesn't know quite which one to play. And he's torturing them. The one thing that will become public knowledge that has not yet become public knowledge is the amount of blackmail involved with the politicians who've been blackmailed with paedophilia and crimes against humanity. That's something that will come out in the next 20 days, within the next 20 days, because there are people there that probably want to do the right thing but haven't got the bottle to, or the bollocks to, for the want of a better word.
Let me just point out to you guys that we just published book number 4 in the Pedophilia and Empire, Satan, Sodomy, and the Deep State series. It's all free online at pedoempire.org with a tag.
Okay, so there you go. Now, you know, that for the people that are saying, real quick, for the people that are saying, well, he conceded. Even, let's say he does. Let's say he comes right out and says, I concede, okay? And then a bunch of evidence comes out, let's say, from the military, who we haven't heard anything from the Pentagon, who we haven't heard anything from, that recently was not giving Biden anything. They come out and they say, look, we have an active war with a bioweapon. We have a coup d'etat with evidence of our allies trying to overthrow our government. We have this, that, and the other thing, crimes against humanity. Oh, but he conceded, so we're just going to overlook all that and let it go, right? We're supposed to buy that? We're supposed to roll along that rocky road? I do not think so, ladies and gentlemen. Back to you, Sean.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Rowe, and yet you've seen it happen over and over and over. And look, I don't want to be the one to pop everybody's bubble. I don't want to be the one that, that's not blowing sunshine if everybody's killed. But Trump is an amazing leader. He's a fantastic businessman. He's a great negotiator. And ultimately, I think a great American, the first really American president we've had in so many years.
Yeah.
And he's a lousy politician. Jane Fonda said that COVID is the greatest gift that God has ever given the left. That's what she said. They beat him with the flu. They've been setting this up for the last year. And they got away with it. They got away with changing the laws, getting around the legislatures, going around the secretaries of state, going around the governors, changing the election laws for paper ballots and whatever. And Trump saw it coming. Trump warned everybody, but did he do anything about it? Let's start with that, with William Sessions. He reminds me of the guy that used to be on Laugh-In. I think it was and now a poem by William Gibson. I wish that I was a flower. That's I don't know if you remember who I'm talking about, but he was a guy that would come out with a flower and say like a silly poem on Laugh-In. Like, you know, I'm dating myself, but years ago. But to have that guy and look, can I? I don't know if I could say this or not. I don't know what I can say on Revolution Radio anymore.
You can say anything you want.
All right, but look, I'm sorry, but Trump's a pussy. I don't care what people say. He's a big pussy. His phrase that he wanted to patent when he was doing The Apprentice. Remember when he wanted to patent the phrase "You're fired"? He wanted to copyright that phrase.
Did he?
He wanted to copyright the phrase "You're fired." Who's he fired? I mean, he's fired a couple of people. I mean, the fact that look at it this way: when he came in again, he was a Democrat. He contributed to Hillary Clinton. He borrowed $10 million from George Soros. He was all up in the New York establishment. Then he had a come-to-Jesus meeting, if you will, became a Republican, ran as a Republican, ran on the same platform, by the way, as Ross Perot back in 1992. And Ross Perot would have won then had he not been just dog nuts crazy and left the race because people were stalking him or whatever else. But finally, William Sessions gets out. I mean, for 2 years, Sessions just sat in the background going, well, I just really don't want to do nothing because I don't want to make it seem as though I'm, you know, I'm a friend of Trump and everything. And then finally, William Barr comes in. And everybody thinks that, oh, William Barr, that's great. He's finally got a bulldog and all this other stuff. Let's go down to William Barr. William Barr was the AG under Bush. William Barr was the guy who covered up Iran-Contra. William Barr was the guy that when a murderous ATF agent named Lon Hirachi, look that name up, kids, Lon Hirachi, when he shot Randy Weaver's 14-year-old son in the back, when he shot Randy Weaver's son Sam, shot his dog first, then shot the kid in the back, then blew off Vicky Weaver's head while she was actually suckling a baby because she looked out the window saying, oh, well, the kids had to be protected from the parents, blew her brains out. Not only was he not prosecuted for that, but he was protected by guess who? William Barr. Then in the movie, if you guys remember the movie Rules of Engagement, which won an Academy Award, and infrared film was shown to the Congress, which you never saw on the television, of a guy sitting in a pillbox with basically a Gatling gun who, when they lit the Branch Davidians complex on fire, women and children were fleeing from the section of the house that was not on fire, and Lon Hirachi sat there in a pillbox and machine-gunned them all, 90 women and children, as they were coming out. Did anything happen to him? No. You know why? Because William Barr covered it up. And then when Lon Hirachi appeared on the cover of Guns and Ammo magazine and said, oh, well, this is the Desert Eagle that I like, you know, because they're shooting people in the head with, and got some notoriety for being the savage that he is. But if you look at it over and over and over again, William Barr is a deep state monster. He's a swamp creature of the nth degree. And what does Trump do when he gets into office? He jettisons all of his truly conservative people. He jettisons Steve Bannon. He jettisons – and then suddenly Mike Flynn gets in a little trouble. He doesn't pardon him right away. He doesn't pardon Roger Stone right away. He commutes his sentence. He's finally pardoning some people now, but it's – let me give you one other aspect of this because it affected me directly. He's only signed 50 pardons. He's got 18,000 – requests for sentence commutations on his desk. He hasn't signed one of them. He did the First Step Act. Now, I'm technically out-ish because of the First Step Act and because of COVID-19. But with the First Step Act, there are currently 127,000 people in federal custody. There's 225,000 people actually under the thumb of the Board of Prisons and the federal government at the moment.
Let me ask you a quick question. If you were Donald Trump, what would you do? You still have the presidency, the office. You're still commander in chief. You've got executive order power. You've got, okay. Well, knowing what you know, Yep. What would you do?
Okay. Well, it's almost to the point where because he's been gaslit and glad-handed, and he should just turn around so people can see all the knives in his back. But when Michael Brutus Pence did not flip it, here's what he should have done and what he can do now. I mean, as an aspect of this, which I don't think he'll do at all. On November 5th, he should have had the jumping G-man of the FBI and the guys and should have overridden Barr. And he should have had FBI and U.S. Marshals in every state that had Dominion machines. And he should have been confiscating those machines under a federal warrant. I mean, day one after the election, yeah. That should have happened, number one. Number two, he didn't eventually – and you know what – let me ask you. You know the biggest campaign promise that he made that he never fulfilled? I'll throw this on you. What was the biggest campaign promise that people used to chant?
Lock her up.
Again, did he?
Lock her up. Yeah, that's true. He didn't lock her up.
Because had he done that and gone after her, gone after Comey, gone after all the people that screwed him on the FISA wardens, all the people that lied, he would not be in this situation now. You know why? Because people would say, we better not mess with this guy because he's not fooling around. Well, guess what? Not only is he not fooling around, but he hasn't grown a pair to be able to do anything about what he does. What does he do? Just whine and say,
That's true. You got a point there, because like if he would have approached internally like he did internationally, when he thumped a couple missiles down the backside of Iraq or whatever,
right.
They knew and Iran, they were like, well, we better not mess around with the United States right now. They give this guy, we don't know what he didn't do that internally.
Domestically. No, he didn't. Yeah. So let's break. Okay, so what can he do now? The only thing I think that he could probably do now.
Not that he should have thumped some missiles down.
Woulda, shoulda, coulda. The only thing he could possibly do now, again, is, it's all stuff that I'm not sure he's going to do. But, okay, the only thing he set up was in 2018, he did sign that executive order, which basically was like a defense act that said, if elections are influenced by foreign powers –
stop him from being like, look, I'm invoking continuity government, Rex 84, whatever. I'm taking control of the internet. I'm taking control of everything. I'm nationalizing everything, and I'm sending out the military to make some arrests, and we're doing it tomorrow. What's to stop him from
doing nothing? Nothing. But between you and I, as the friends that we've been throughout the years, do you really think after the 4 years that you've seen of him doing nothing and being a pussy and not going after any of his enemies, you really think he's going to do that? Seriously, in your heart of hearts?
I'd say there's a very small percentage that, that could happen.
yes, what?
I know.
What? Say it. Yeah. It's funny. Say it. What?
Well, I'd say there's maybe about a 5% chance that happens. But, okay. But there's a timeline. You could look at all of the circumstantial, evidence of what's been going on. And there's a lot of curious things that are in parallel. From the military.
You want to talk about the curious things? Let's talk about the curious things. I will answer your question. I know what you're going to say.
There's a lot of military action going on right now in the air on the East Coast at this very moment. But go ahead.
You basically it's why? Because you had, in essence, what they were calling an insurrection because people were just walking through the Capitol. The funniest thing I saw was they had a reporter. And a reporter's walking along. He's got his mask on. And some reporter's saying, I'm here amongst the violent protesters. And these people walking with him said, we're not violent. There was a blonde lady with slightly Swedish accent. We're not violent. What are you doing? Fake news, Mr. Lyon? He goes, I'm being threatened and I'm being heckled by the crowd.
Yeah, and there was the cops were waving people through. Yeah. And there was one picture of a guy taking a selfie with the D.C. police. They were both sitting there smiling as they took a selfie. So it's all a big false flag setup.
Yeah.
It's all a big show, and they're making Chucky Schumer, he's up there talking like it's a Pearl Harbor, the White House hasn't been breached since 18 whatever, and it's like Pearl Harbor, and we could have been killed,
they were talking about this kind of insurrection, the Capitol hasn't been attacked since 1814, and I don't know why anybody didn't point out that the Capitol building didn't exist until the 1860s. Morons, and they didn't build the Supreme Court building until 1934, and then it was the White House that they kicked in the door while James Madison was eating dinner, And with his napkin flying under his chin, he ran out the back door, and his wife grabbed the painting of George Washington, and they ran out the back door. And by the way, the British didn't burn it down right away. They bivouacked at the Executive Mansion before it was called the White House. And what did they do? They went out to the federal courthouses, and they collected the wet ink signature deeds to all of the land so that they would have original highest title. Okay, so here's what Trump has done. In 2018, he did the executive order, which basically gave him the power to do certain things if he could prove a foreign attack on a foreign election. And he did this in direct reaction to everybody yelling and screaming that the Russians had something to do with the election. That's number one. Number two, he fired Mark Esper. Finally, he fires somebody. And he fires Mark Esper, who is the Secretary of Defense, and he put in a guy. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, but the guy is a tooth sharpening, you know, gook eating Vietnam Green Beret, who's just, you know, a real warrior and actually has some guts. He fires the head of Homeland Security, who says, "Oh, there's no fraud, there's no nothing, everything's just fine." Bill Barr finally resigns. Trump, notice, doesn't fire him, and so there's another guy in there and. And Michael Flynn, now that he's finally been pardoned, and I don't know why everybody thinks Sidney Powell is such a great lawyer, because she didn't win that case and she got pushed around by the judge. And not only did she not win because of Sullivan, but it finally took a pardon by Trump. So he's back in the inner circle.
Yeah, but Michael, that's part of the problem, is the courts are corrupt.
Well, Michael Flynn, but again, let's talk about why the courts are corrupt. They're all Jesuits. The judge that convicted me is a Jesuit. Yeah. They're all Opus Dei Catholics, for God's sakes. And when you have John Roberts yelling at the rest of the Supreme Court saying, "We're not going to take this Texas case because if we rule on it, people will effing riot." That's what one of the clerks said. Yeah. They heard through the door. And Thomas and Scalia think Roberts is a joke. And they're like, "You're just a punk and we don't care what you have to say." But guess what? The other Catholics on the court, like Barrett, like Kavanaugh, like Gorsuch, you know, like whatever else, they're scared to death of John Roberts because they won't get their agenda through, et cetera, et cetera. So you've got a corruption in the courts. And again, talk about Trump being stabbed in the back. He puts 300 judges on the stand in the courts, and not one of them he can find that will actually back his play. So I've never seen a man who engenders less loyalty than Donald Trump. But look at who he surrounded himself with. I knew it was kind of over when the first person he met with becoming president was Henry Kissinger. And when he started then hiring Bush people, he's surrounding himself with Bush people, not conservatives, mind you, not patriots, but the John Boltons, the whomever, you know, whomever else.
Yeah, now I noticed that too.
Now also here, and let me just a sideline on this. These generals like Mattis, these generals like, you know, Mad Dog Mattis and all these generals, they take Trump down to the woodshed, if you will, which is the Situation Room under the White House. And they scream at him for hours, call him an idiot, call him a fool, calling him a moron, saying he doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't understand the complexities of foreign policy. And he looks at these guys and he says, "You know, since George Bush took office and Obama, you people," pointing to these generals, "you've killed 27 million people in the Middle East and Afghanistan. 27 million people have died. So if you consider 6 million of the Nazis and whatever, I mean, that makes the Obama and Bush administrations, I think, about the fourth worst administration. I mean, the Russians killed 125 million. The Red Chinese killed 60 million. The Nazis killed like 15 million. So 27 million people puts them up as three, I think, of the most murderous regimes of all time. You've spent $8 trillion on wars in foreign countries and all kinds of places around the world. I can't get $1 trillion to build a wall between here and Mexico, to build a road, to build a bridge. And you people just want me to keep spending more money on your agenda. And please let me remind you that all these people are all for the military budget. The military budget in the last few years is more, the $750 billion, whatever. If you take the state budgets of all 50 states combined, they don't add up to the military budget for 1 year. That's how much money the Pentagon spends. So here's the problem. Trump messes with the military-industrial complex. Ooh, they're run by the intelligence agencies. The intelligence agencies are run by the Vatican. And why do the Vatican – by the way, through the Jesuits. And who do the Jesuits report to? They're the Society of Jesus, and they report to the Knights of Malta. And if you remember – let me go back because a lot of people don't know the background of this. The Knights of Malta go in and they yell at Pope Benedict. And they scream at him saying, the reason we started, the reason we did 9/11, the reason we pulled all this stuff off was to start a war with Islam. Islam is the threat, not China, Islam. If you get 1.7 billion Muslims that get one leader, like their legendary 12th Imam, which they prophesy, and you get 1.7 billion Muslims ganging up on you, all unified, that's the game over. And they don't need tanks and navies and guns and planes. All they need to do is do massive illegal immigration up into Europe, and they could collapse those socialist societies virtually overnight. And they're yelling at Benedict saying, you're not doing enough to curb the threat of Islam against Christianity. By the way, using the prophecies of Fatima, which Benedict released and then lied about, because the final prophecy of Fatima was Islam invading Italy. And I'm not saying it's right. But Sister Lucia, the very last prophecy was that the Muslims invade Italy, they burn the Vatican, they loot the Vatican, they kill all the cardinals, and the Pope is running through the streets, and he climbs atop a pile of bodies where he's then machine-gunned by Islamic jihadists. That's the last prophecy. So after getting yelled at by the Knights of Malta for about 4 or 5 hours, the Benedict goes to think about it, and then lightning strikes the Vatican, the cross of the Vatican, twice. At like 6 o'clock, and at 7 o'clock he resigns, and then they put in Pope Francis. Well, Pope Francis, guess what? Just happens to be a Jesuit, the first Jesuit ever to actually be the Pope in the Catholic Church. Now, again, when we talk about the Vatican owning the federal corporation,
the Black Pope is always a Jesuit, though.
Yes, he's always a Jesuit. Yes, but he's not the Black Pope, but he is a Jesuit, and the reason they call him the Black Pope is because Jesuits dress in black with red piping instead of white or red. So when they're cardinals and they're Jesuits, they always dress in black. So that's why he's the black. And Francis was not the Black Pope, but he was one of the Jesuits. So when you look at the intelligence agencies, all the Five Eyes, as they call it, every intelligence agency on the planet, the guys who pulled off 9/11, I might add, every intelligence agency has, if you're not in with the Jesuits or the Catholics, you don't get a job in FBI, CIA, Deuxen Bureau, MI5, MI6, and what have you. Now, why is England against Trump? England is against Trump because their job is to smuggle heroin. They make all kinds of money. The Queen of England has made all of her bones, if you will, smuggling heroin. Where's the heroin come from? Out of Afghanistan. What is he doing? He's pulling everybody out of Afghanistan, which is now cutting the heroin and opium trade to the rest of the world. Now, where does most of the drugs come from? The southern border. Well, guess what? Trump's cut off that line as well by building the wall, by increasing immigration, because that's where your child pornography comes from, your white slavery, your massive drugs. He comes that. Then what does he do? He goes after Pfizer and the pharmaceutical companies, and he reduces the price of pharmaceuticals so they're affordable for people. So what does Pfizer do? They drag their feet on the vaccine, so magically it comes out 2 weeks before the election. You see, Trump is just like Kennedy. There's nobody that he hasn't pissed off. And Kennedy, again, I've said about him and with Trump, when you mess with the dough, you gots to go. And Trump is messing with the dough. He's trying to get it. He's trying to get everything back to the United States. And China learned early on that all they have to do is buy 600 people. That's the 100 senators. That's the 435 congressmen. All you have to do is buy with billions of dollars, our money, by the way. You buy those 600 people and you control everything. Now, Republicans who are saying this is not the hill to die on, you know, we'll live to fight another day, are stupid. And I'm not saying they're stupid. They're not stupid. They're demonic. They're demonically crafty because in 2 years, they will have the ability to fundamentally change this country in such a way by illegalizing anywhere between 20 and 30 million illegal aliens, by tearing down that wall, by allowing everybody to come in, bankrupting the healthcare system with billions upon billions of dollars. And I talked to a girl who's a friend of mine in Florida who was all happy about the fact that finally she's going to get an extra $2,000. And I literally said to her, so it's nice to know you're willing to sell your country out for a measly $2,000. So what can Trump do? Let's get back to what he can do. He's got Michael Flynn back in the inner core. He's got the new Secretary of Defense. He's got the new Secretary of Homeland Security. It's almost too late. The idea was if Trump can delay the vote, Mike Pence had the ability as head of the Senate, and he just sat up there and lied and showed that once again he's Brutus, et tu Brute, he's Brutus Pence.
Yeah, that's what I thought of too. I said that out loud. Et tu Brute.
Et tu Brute. Well, let me tell you why. I'm not making any aspersions about this, but the two biggest places for child pornography, child prostitution, child sex rings are Michigan and Indiana. Indiana is the crack heroin drug holy land, if you will, that area. Michael Pence, I'm not going to accuse him of anything, but it is interesting that the guy that used to run a lot of the pedophilia stuff, according to a girl I know named Kathy O'Brien, and people should probably get her book, Transformation of America, but yes. She talked about – we got the music. We got talked about how Gerald Ford was running like the international pedo rings, and there is I think that John Roberts is being blackmailed with a bunch of information that came out of the Jeffrey Epstein thing, which is why he's acting the way it is. But I also think Mike Pence, in my personal opinion, this is just my opinion, but I think Pence is in that same group where even though he's Mr. Christian and Mr. Wonderful, that always seems to be a cover for guys that are in some very nasty stuff. So I'm thinking that, you know, that the blackmail is coming out. Hillary was like sponsoring sex parties. And if you wanted to go to the sex party and your wife wouldn't go, she'd find you a prostitute to go to the party so that they would get stuff on you.
Well, that's nice of Hillary to find you a date.
Yeah, so, you know, she's the queen pimp there. And I don't know what you call a lady pimp, a pimpette or something. All right, so what can
a madam. I guess you call it a madam.
Right, the madam. So the only thing that Trump can do now is if Trump finds a way to delay the vote, which I guess obviously he hasn't been able to do as of, I think, today. But if he found a way to delay the vote until January 18th or found a way to stall all this stuff, as of January 18th, if the Senate is not able to vote, then it goes to the House of Representatives, and the House of Representatives then votes by state delegation. There's 29 Republican delegations. I think, you know, the balance is Democrat, but they would win that way. But Pence actually had the ability, because seven states put in two sets of electors. They put in a Republican set of electors. Remember, the Republican electors were banned from the state house, and they had to mail their votes in because Gretchen Whitmer sent the National Guard out there to stop, or the sheriff or whatever else. But seven states put in two sets of electors, put in the Republican and put in Democratic electors, and Pence had the ability as president pro tem of the Senate to accept the Republican slate of electors, and he didn't do it, and that was just the last stab in the neck. And look, I would love to see Trump grow a pair of cojones, and I'd love to see Trump take this bold action. But in 4 years, he's done nothing. He hasn't hired the people he hasn't fired the people that have betrayed him. He hasn't jailed the people that he knew were against him. He hasn't taken any action because he's afraid of these punks at CNN.
All right. We are going to a break. You want to stick around for the next hour, Sean?
Yeah, I'm here, man. You're my brother and you're my friend and you help me out. And we'll talk about the prison thing and everything else if you want. You know, what's helping me?
All right. Stay tuned, everybody. FreedomSlips.com. Sean David Martin. We will be right back.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at FreedomSlips.com. We'll be right back after this message. Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Trucking, got my chips cashed in, keep trucking. Like the doodah man together, more or less in line, just keep chugging home, home, home.
Arrows of neon and flashing marquees out on Main Street, Chicago, New York, Detroit, and it's all on the same street. Your typical city involved in a typical day.
Dallas got a soft machine. Houston, too close to New Orleans. New York got the ways and means and just won't let you be.
Most of the cats that you meet on the streets speak of true love. Most of the time they're sitting and crying at home. One of these days, they know they gotta get going. Out of the door and down to the street all alone.
Chugging like the doodah man once told me you got to pay your hand. Sometimes the cards ain't worth a dime if you don't lay them down. Sometimes the light's all shining on me. Other times I can barely see. Lately it occurs to me. What a long, strange trip it's been.
Oh, yes, I bet it has been quite a long and strange trip. It is still 2021 right now. I guess, Sean, it's like a time warp, though. And also, if anybody in the chat room has any questions for Sean, I will go ahead and put them in capital letters, and I will relay them. I mean, if you want to take any calls, we could even take calls, or if there's a host out there that wants to say hello, you know how to do it. So,
wait, I have to thank you for the music. And you know what a Grateful Dead fan says when his pot runs out? Man, this music sucks. Sorry.
I used to go to Grateful Dead shows.
I know. I told you I had a girlfriend, Kathy, this crazy redhead who was always mad and bitchy at me until she smoked some pot. And then she was, that's the only time she's ever nice to me. And I said, could you just upload it so we can have some sex, please? And she was a big Grateful Dead fan, too. And she just smoked way too much pot. It was a crazy girl. All right. So what are we going to talk about now? I'm sorry I don't have better news for people, but I'm just, all I've seen is lawyers that have gaslit Trump, that have wasted his time, that have given bad advice, and he's just gone along with it, unfortunately, and it's almost to the point where it's too late, unless he can delay everything until the 18th, delay a Senate vote, which I don't think happened.
The last hope is to get
the Congress to vote on it. I don't think
that's even a possibility. I think that's all exhausted, but I think that the only avenue now is the military and the evidence, if they've been doing their due diligence and they have what they've been saying they have. You know, if it's all a bluff and they don't have anything, well, it's done. We're done. Let me ask you,
let's say he calls out the military and does whatever else. What is his path to victory even then?
Okay, if you have evidence of pedophilia, child trafficking, insurrection, treason, international effery, so to speak, and you have then the only option, of course, if you see that the civilian court system and two branches of government and everything in between have been completely decimated with this stench of corruption, the only thing left, obviously, is to declare martial law.
Yeah.
And to utilize the military to round up all the key players and at the same time take control of all the media and broadcast and present what they call, quote, the D-class, present all of the evidence to back up what you're doing. Because if you just do that and you don't tell anybody or you just say something, that's not enough. The public has to see it. The public has – there would have to – like if you took control of all the media airwaves and every channel and social media started showing the video evidence of stuff.
Which you could do, yes. He could do that.
That would change the game, and it wouldn't matter if he had already conceded or not and everybody bitches because there you go.
Let me interject in that, Reverend Rowe.
Okay.
Didn't he watch Portland burn? Didn't he watch Seattle burn? Didn't he watch Michigan burn?
Yes, because he left it
burn.
He left it up to the states are sovereign, quote unquote, with their governors as the presidents. It was up to the governor of Oregon. It was up to the governor of Michigan.
I get it. But he could. But once again, if you go all the way back to George Washington, George Washington used the Insurrection Act back then to crush the Whiskey Rebellion. And he invaded the states with the army and the whole thing to force the whiskey bootleggers to pay taxes on whiskey.
Dynamics, I think, back then.
Okay. All I see him doing is just sitting back. Sorry, it's the pussy factor, where he's just like, okay, fine, you guys let it burn. Now, again, why is California shutting down? And why are all these blue states shutting down? They want to make the financial mess so great that the federal government will have no choice to bail them out, because then they will bail out their unions.
Well, you know what the Great Reset is, right?
Sorry, what?
You know what the Great Reset is, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so
again, he has the power. Let me tell you one other thing. The Treasury has the power, and this would screw up everything, but I brought this to light some years ago. There are a bunch of guys who were tasked to make platinum coins at the Treasury. Remember this?
Yeah,
so we made a big fuss about it. We had a good time with it, and they made platinum coins. And they said, "How much should we make the coins for?" And the guys are like, "Oh, I don't know. We can make them for anything we want." And somebody said, they thought it was a joke, but it wound up on the front page of the New York Times, where a guy said, "Well, let's make 16 platinum coins and make them worth $1 trillion a piece, and walk them over to the Federal Reserve and pay the national debt." And Trump could order 30. Platinum coins, make them worth $1 trillion, walk them over to the Federal Reserve and say, here you go. Now, it would cause financial chaos and, you know, all kinds of different ways, but, you know, it is what it is. Let's talk about the prophecy of what I think is going to happen. Okay, should we talk about that, or do you have other things to talk about?
Absolutely. No, let's go wherever you want to go now.
Okay. I mean, I could talk about what happened to me. I could talk about – I've still got – just in brief. It's taken me 3 years to do the research that it's taken to discover the massive amount of fraud and lies and obfuscation and the complete criminal behavior of Valerie Makowicz, James Hughes. Her name is Makowicz, I swear to God. And she – you know why she doesn't wear underpants? So she gets a better grip on her broom. It's taken me 3 years to come up with all the information. And look, the people that were investigating this stuff finally looked at me and said, wow, Sean, I really didn't know you were this big a deal. Because as you go into it, I mean, the things that happened to me, and I don't mean to, you know, engage in puffery or proof myself up at all, but I was taken down on the direct orders of Hillary Clinton. And who would have thought our nutty little show where we used to play Evil Woman and the Hillary theme song of Evil Woman and Black Magic Woman, and we used to play the Flying Monkeys theme every time we talked about it. But when you consider that the former acting director of the IRS, Mark Everson, and former Republican candidate for president, was the first guy to testify at my trial, the fact that Bridget Everson was the campaign manager for both Hillary and Obama that was responsible for data mining, that data mined voters. She's got a firm in Los Angeles, but she lied to get on my jury saying, oh, I'm a green consultant. But Bridget Everson, the personal assistant, and you know, by the way, you know who's working for her? Huma Abedin, or I'm sorry, her proper name is Huma Wiener. That's actually her name, which I find always amusing. Huma Abedin Wiener was her personal assistant. She was on my jury. I had two people on my jury when they asked how long have you lived in L.A. County. They said 30 minutes and 45 minutes, and we thought they were kidding. And one guy apparently had just come in from Pakistan 45 minutes before to sit on my jury. They put an actress on the stand pretending to be a person that supposedly was in contact with me, who never was. They put a woman named Christy Morgan on the stand who claimed to be an IRS expert. And I said, have you ever audited any of my tax stuff? Well, no. Well, who did? Well, Maureen Green up in Orem, or I think it's Rulon, Utah. I'm like, well, where's she? Well, she's busy. And I'm like, well, what about this paperwork that I submitted in? It was, you know, it all had to do with 1099 OIDs, but then you submit what's called the 1099A, which stands for abandonment and acquisition, which means you're taking funds that have been abandoned by the bank on your account, and when no one claims them, the banks get to claim that money. And so because the banks didn't like the fact that people like me were claiming the funds at the end of the year, they basically got the government to stop them. And when I was saying, why didn't you look at the documents that made everything I was doing legal? Oh, it wasn't my job to look at the entire record. By the way, I didn't get discovery through the entire trial. They gave me blank discs, and they said, oh, you don't have the passcode. They gave me a passcode. They were still blank. I have affidavits from computer experts and from paralegals who said all this evidence that we're getting from the DOJ, the discs are blank, and the judge didn't care.
A testament to the corruption of the courts from every level.
He didn't care. It was like, at the end, I'm like, the discs are blank. I have no discovery. And at the end, he was railing at the DOJ saying, well, you can't use these last two discs because it's too late and you can't use the evidence on them. And I said, well, how can they use it or not when the discs they gave me, even these last two discs, are blank, Your Honor? Ah, shut up. I mean, and then I said, I want to know, this is the best one, I want to know the jurisdiction of this court. Here's the jurisdiction. The jurisdiction of this court, first off, it's in admiralty, it's in equity, it's statutory. You've got two flags on either side of you that have gold fringes. One has a spear on it, which is a weapon. The other one has an eagle, which proves that it's Roman Curia law and you're part of the Roman legions as well, and that you're a Jesuit, and you know that I've been critical of the Jesuits, and you used to work as a prosecutor for the Internal Revenue Service, and they shopped this case to 12 other judges before you took it, which means you should be recusing yourself right now. And the jurisdiction of federal courts are over contracts between the states, mostly, which I interstate commerce, and piracy. On the high seas, the Captain Phillips Somali pirates were at the USP in Tucson, where I was at the camp. I'm the captain now guy, got convicted of piracy. So I said, why don't you tell me what the jurisdiction of this court is? Because if you can't establish jurisdiction, I'm gone. And you know what he said? Instead of saying, well, the jurisdiction or whatever else. Now, under United States versus KIS, K-I-S, KIS, anytime the jurisdiction of a court is challenged, everything has to stop. Because that's the basis of it. You might as well be trying somebody on the moon, as an example, if the court cannot try jurisdiction. And his exact words to me, and you can check the transcripts on this, he said, you're going to shut up and you're going to sit down or you will face the most dire consequences. I will make prison look like a birthday party for you, Dr. Morton. And I started packing stuff up. He goes, where are you going? And I was like, I'm leaving. If you're not going to establish jurisdiction or tell me what it is, then there's no point in me being here. And I started walking out. And he hit a button, and he got two U.S. Marshals to grab me. And I'm like, oh, you're kidnapping me now, huh? I think I moved more than 6 feet. And sit me down in my chair. He says, you're going to shut up, and you're going to sit down, or you have no idea what I have in store for you. That was my trial. That's what it looked like. And at the very end of this whole thing, when we got convicted, you know, my wife had a stroke. She spent 3 days in the intensive care ward with a stroke afterwards. And there was a lot of reasons. A lot of people said, well, Sean, you didn't show up for your sentencing. Well, okay. I came in to the court that morning at 10 o'clock, and I served the clerk with a writ of mandamus and a writ of certiorari that said, until this matter is adjudicated by the Supreme Court, you can't sentence me, therefore I'm not going to appear. So I gave them all the notice about what I was doing. The DOJ grabbed that paperwork. Valerie Makovich grabbed that paperwork from the clerk, Carlos, whatever his name was, hid it, and didn't file it until the following Friday, making it look like I didn't show up for sentencing at 2 o'clock in the court. And by the way, the day the Supreme Court rejected my writ of mandamus and my writ of certiorari was the day that the IRS – I think I was sitting out by a pool somewhere in the desert. But that was the day they got me and put guns in my face and said what's going on here? Oh. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
This is Sean Morton.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. Now here's the fun part. I'm in home confinement right now. And the only reason I'm under home confinement now is because, okay, the First Step Act cut my sentence because I'm over a certain age. Over a certain age, and I'm nonviolent, non-sex, non-drug, non-nothing. I mean, I'm a paperwork guy. They cut my sentence to 66%, which means I'm supposed to actually be totally free in August of this year. But the BOP is refusing to obey the law, and they're ignoring the First Step Act, which was signed, December 21st on the solstice, halfway through the night of the Jaguar in 2018. And the BOP just said, we don't feel like enforcing it. Now, William Barr wrote a memo and said, everybody that's over 50, that's done 50% of their time, that's nonviolent, that's, non. Please let them go. And the DOJ and the BOP went, eh. And then he wrote a second memo that said, why aren't you letting them go? Then he wrote a third memo saying, I am ordering you to let these people go. Let them go. And so actually my 50% was August of last year. And then because I made a phone call – ready for this? Because I made a phone call and was talking to you guys, I guess, or whatever, because I didn't break any laws. I didn't have any contraband because I made a phone call to y'all contacting the media or whatever it is, they claimed that was – which you can do and as long as you're not getting paid because right. Nobody at Revolution Radio gets paid. As long as you're not making money off it. But they said that was a misuse of electronic communications. And here's where it gets fun. I'm at a camp. And to give you an idea of my camp, my bunkie underneath me was Calvin Coolidge's great-grandson, Weston Coolidge. The guy on the other bunk in the top – was Dr. Mike. He was Heather Locklear's former husband. The guy over here was David Pritchard, who was the former head of HBO and the guy that started Al Jazeera. The guy over there was Scott Mason, who used to be Charles Barkley's personal attorney. Another guy that I helped with his paperwork get out had the same eye operation that I had that was also botched by the BOP, which blinded both of us in our right eyes and gave us a reason for compassionate release. When I got grabbed by SIS, and this is what was wild, I put in a motion for compassionate release on June 28th of 2019. The DOJ wanted until September 28th to respond. They went back. They came back on September 28th and lied their asses off in the paperwork saying, well, Sean didn't do the administrative process properly because in the First Step Act it says now you used to have to go through this whole process where the BOP was going to file a motion for you. Now all you have to do is write a letter to the warden that says, please release me, and it doesn't matter what the warden – actually, we had a wardeness at my place. We had a woman named Barbara von Blankensee who I swear looked like Heather Locklear, and she used to just bounce through there with her Jennifer Aniston haircut going, hi, how you guys doing? I hope you're all suffering, and that sort of thing. And so it was really kind of a joke. And the guy we had before that was a part-time – was our warden, was a part-time Elvis impersonator. It's too funny. I mean, I actually wrote a TV series pilot called Club Fed, which actually got bought by a company when I was in there. So SIS started going through my locker like twice a week, tearing everything apart, looking for contraband. And 13 days after the DOJ filed their response saying I didn't do my admin procedure properly, 99% of their thing was total crap that I was going to beat. They had SIS grab me after I made a phone call to JP, grab me, take me over to the real prison, the penitentiary where the hardcore criminals are. And I had this bald lieutenant say, oh, you're that Sean Morton guy. You're some kind of famous guy. You got a PhD. Good. I love breaking smart guys. And I said, are you threatening me? And he goes, oh, well, you know, fat boy, you're going to look like you came out of Ethiopia from here. Oh, you're threatening to starve me? Well, your ass is mine. I'm like, wow, you just threatened me with anal rape. And they took me in a room, took off their badges, and five of these guys beat me up. They beat me up. They stripped me naked, handcuffed me, put me in a cooler cell for about 4 hours or so. Finally, somebody took pity on me and threw me some underpants. And then they tossed me into a solitary confinement cell for 55 days, would not give me my glasses, which means I could only read by the light of a little slit window for a couple hours a day. It was kind of funny because the only thing they gave me to read was the Alcoholics Anonymous Bible, which is funny because it's like, oh, the trials of Job, and he lost his family, and he has boils and all these horrible things, but he never took a drink. So I thought it was funny. Then they shipped me to Oklahoma to their transfer center, and then they put me into Big Spring, Texas, which was a hellhole, which is all. So now the people I was in with were rapists, murderers, bank robbers, pedophiles. I did get all my Eagle Scout badges though, and I could say the Catholic Mass in full Vulgate Latin, because they're all priests, and one priest molested 37 kids and he got 37 years. But those kind of people I was in there with then, you know, they were all really disgusting. At the same time, I met another guy in there named Rocky Hudson. Rocky Hudson, Tim Turner, Winston Shrout, Reverend Tony King, every single person that was teaching the Constitution, that was teaching the fraud of the financial system, that was helping people with mortgages, helping people fight the banks. They rounded all of us up at the same time. And this was after Lois Lerner had testified and said specifically our job was to target right-wing radio crazies. Does that sound familiar?
Sure does. Yeah.
That was her testimony before Congress. And when they said, we want 30,000 emails of what you've done, she said, no, thanks, and threw them all away and totally got away with it because Eric Holder was Barack Hussein Obama's wingman. So when I discovered how deep this all went, and now I can find that, again, they didn't give me discovery. They held back evidence. They didn't give me Brady material. They dumped a bunch of stuff on my doorstep 3 days before the trial. I mean, I got about 7 feet high, two rows of boxes that they dumped in a literally with the crates and whatever else, dumped on my doorstep on a Saturday. My trial was on a Tuesday the following week. So this is what I went up against. This is the kind of thing – and I still refused to take an attorney. I thought that the Constitution would protect me, and I realized that the Constitution is not in force in any of these courts because – let me tell you one other thing that's sort of interesting. Mm-hmm. I looked up the Dun & Bradstreet number for the court that I was in. Anybody out there that wants to go on a website called Manta.com, this will prove our Vatican argument. Go on Manta.com. Manta.com has a list of about 60 million Dun & Bradstreet numbers for every corporation in the world. Go ahead and look up United States of America. And when you find United States of America Incorporated, it will come up with a page that will show you that the United States of America, incorporated in 1871, is located at 1500 Pennsylvania Avenue, which is the Capitol building, has three main executives. I don't know who they are because it doesn't list them, has 2.7 million employees. And at the bottom of this page, and I think I've shown it to you years ago, that the owner and CEO of the United States of America is Archbishop Derek, D-E-R-I-C, R. MacLeod, of the Washington, D.C. Archdiocese on 4th and Michigan Street. Now, I think we called him 60 times to try to get an interview with him, and he was always busy. So I looked up my court, and there it was. It had a Dun & Bradstreet number. It had a credit rating of AA. Stephen V. Wilson was, I think, the chief executive of it. And then you find out the district courts are, in fact, subsidiary S-corps of the appellate courts. Now, please let me explain to you that the appellate courts are not constitutional. The appellate courts were set up by the executive branch, and the only reason the appellate courts were set up was to take heat off the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court, which used to have 5 justices, which then had 9 justices and was designed for 13 colonies with only about, I don't know, 3 to 5 million people, was overworked. And so they created this ridiculous – and the appellate courts weren't designed until about 1910, I think it was. And they're not courts of common law at all. Matter of fact, there are only 2 courts of common law left in the United States, which people don't know. Everything else is statutory, equity, Roman curiae, and basically Roman curia law. And those 2 courts are the Supreme Court of the United States, which is a common law court, and the United States Court of Claims in Washington, D.C., where they do not allow lawyers to appear, by the way. You have to state a claim, go in on your own, and they can't have a lawyer represent them. The person you have the claim against must appear. But that's the only other common law court. So I discovered that my court for the Central District of California is a subsidiary S-corp of the Ninth Circuit Court, and that the Ninth Circuit Court is domiciled in Reno. Now, their offices are in San Francisco. That's where they actually have their hearings at. There's 29 people on the court. Trump has actually appointed 17 of them. But they have offices in Pasadena, California, where you can't submit any paperwork, I found out. But they're in Nevada. And the reason they're in Reno is because they don't want to pay taxes in California. Now, here's the crazy part. The crazy part about this is I go in, I take in my paperwork that day, I put it in there saying I'm not supposed to appear, I tell them all about it, the DOJ grabs it, doesn't file it until Friday, makes it look like I escaped, and because I didn't come in there, the credit rating of the court dropped from AA to AB-. And here's the other reason for this. I had a friend of mine who looks up CUSIP numbers and has a way to find – and every bond that's lodged with the Depository Trust Clearinghouse Corporation that goes through what's called Treasury Direct, every bond has a CUSIP number. I've forgotten what it stands for, but it's like common, uniform, something, something, you know, service of whatever. So I had this friend look up my court cases. And he said, you've got 3 federal court cases. Here's the CUSIP numbers on them, and they've related to 3 different bonds. He says, your bonds – are actually on deposit with Fidelity Mutual Canada, which is a savings in Ottawa, actually, Fidelity Forex out of Boston, and Fidelity Savings out of Philadelphia. He said, you sitting down? I said, yeah. He says, your bonds are worth $450 million. I was like, what? Because they're worth $450 million. He says, if you can access these through Treasury Direct, you got some money coming. And he says this is why they need you in there, because without them convicting you and sending you down to hell and giving you a bill of lading and turning you into a commodity so that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac can count you against their ledger sheet, because all the prisons are run by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who also hold student debt of $1.7 trillion. These are all government agencies, mind you. He says that that's why their credit rating dropped to A-. And he says, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but the sister-in-law of your prosecutor actually is managing your bond in Ottawa, Canada. Did you know that?
No, so I did not know that.
That's how bad – I'm not asking you, but this is what this guy asked me. And I was like – and this is how deep this went. So it's worth $450 million to them to do what they're doing. So when William Barr wrote this memo about 50-50 – I finally get out because I was on a management variable for misuse of their electronic communication, not because I had any contraband, but because I made a phone call. And the phone call was about getting my friends and family to send letters of support to the court to support my motion for compassionate release, which, by the way, finally got finished on July 1st of last year, and the judge refuses to rule on my case. So it's been 7 months. He legally only has 4 months to rule, and he hasn't ruled on it at all. So I have a habeas corpus coming up, which he did accept, and he gave them 4 months to rule on a habeas corpus, which is supposed to be an emergency action to get somebody out of prison, because I've got fourth stage throat cancer and the fact that the BOP blinded me in my right eye and I could be dead by the end of this process. We've got a hearing in May to present all of this fraudulent material and all the fraud that was pulled by the DOJ to send my wife and I to prison for it. Now, Melissa did 18 months and got out, and I got out to home confinement, which is all kinds of horrible. I've got I've got an anklet on me. I've got to call these guys 5 times a day. They call me to make sure I'm where I'm at. If I need to go somewhere, I have to submit an itinerary, which needs to be – I mean, their job is to basically annoy you to death and how I'm supposed to get medical care and how I'm supposed to even look for a job when I can't even go to my storage unit to get shoes and socks and pants, you know, without their permission a week in advance. It's horrible. And the DOJ won't recognize my out date of August, and are saying, well, your out date's not until it's not until October of 2022. Unless I can get this overturned with the habeas corpus. So that's my legal situation. So that's why – so I am out. But
so how can people – if somebody wants to help you out
– great. I mean, I'm flat broke, but if anybody wants to help – and I'd be happy to do readings. I don't expect anything for free. But I can do readings for people, and I can give them astrological charts, and we can do astrocartography to find out where they live. But if they go to PayPal – .me, that's M-E, / Sean Morton 108, S-E-A-N-M-O-R-T-O-N. That's paypal.me / Sean Morton 108, or they can go to Venmo, and my address at Venmo is Sean Morton 108. So it's paypal.me / Sean Morton 108. 108's the magic number because it's the number of mala beads in a Tibetan rope, and one is the male, zero is the female, eight is a standing infinity, or Sean Morton 108 at Venmo. And anything that you guys can help me with, I mean, I'm literally struggling to – I have nothing. They've taken everything. My friends who looted my apartment, they stole all our cats. They sold our cats for about $2,500 a piece, including Norwegian Forest Cat kittens. But all of our cats, our family, are gone. I had a guy steal my car, and somehow – managed to sell it to some people across the way, and had a woman who his girlfriend got my wallet, and they were able to get a bunch of passcodes and whatever else, and she stole thousands of dollars out of my bank account. And so what can you do? So these are my friends. These are the people that gaslit me into thinking, oh, yeah, we'll help you out. Yeah, you know. So my 1975 Fiat Spider's gone, was stolen and gone by my pals, my good buddies. So there you have it. Okay, let's talk about stuff that matters to other people. So that's my – other people's legal situations are always boring. But I'm on home confinement until God knows when.
Has anybody contacted you about, let's say, alternative options for treatment?
I just got out Monday. So
okay.
Look, here's the problem. The problem is being on home – my family – started and still has major stock in and everything else, the best cancer clinic on earth, which is in Tijuana. It's International BioCare. It's IBCHospital.com if anybody wants to take a look at it. But they've got everything. They've got an operating room. They've got stem cell therapy. They've got live cell therapy. They've got chelation therapy. They've got ultraviolet blood cleansing. They've got hyperbaric oxygenation. They've got a full-on clinic. Had I gotten out of this with my habeas corpus, I would have headed to Mexico and spent the next months in Mexico to get treatment there. And look, everybody's got an idea. Everybody's like, oh, try the dog deworming treatment, try this. But they don't realize that not only is the mass on my neck – here's the problem. The mass on my neck is going to kill me three different ways. One, it sits right on top of my interior and exterior carotid arteries and right on top of my jugular vein going from my brain. Which means I haven't been able to get any exercise. I mean, I can't get my pulse above a certain level before I'm not getting enough oxygen to my brain, which makes me feel very much like a Democrat a lot of the time, or at least somebody from CNN. Then it's moving around the back of my neck, which means if it hits my spine, I'll be paralyzed. And now it's burst through my skin, and you can see some pictures online of it, but it's a huge golf ball-sized tumor that's literally hanging out of my neck that weeps blood. That's actually pressing on my larynx and my esophagus, and I'm terrified if this goes any longer that once they pull this out that they may pull out my vocal cords, my throat, and I'll never be able to talk again. Now I go to the BOP and I say, look, I'm up for Medi-Cal, but I don't get it until February 1st. And they said, well, BOP doesn't let you have Medi-Cal because it's state and you're the property of the BOP now. So you have to have our insurance. Well, when's that going to come? Well, we don't know. So I'm in a catch-22 situation where I have a not-so-lovely person call me every day and say, well, you can only do this and you can only do that. And if you want to go get shoes, you got to ask me a week in advance. You got to fill out a paper. And, it's bad. You're under the possession of the BOP. And they still don't think that I'm going to be done with my sentence until October of 2022. it's all horrible. So we'll see what happens. So let's talk about fun things, and we'll talk about the let's talk about the next 5 years or what I see happening and why Trump doesn't fit in with the prophecy, if you want to talk about that. Unless you have other
questions. How do the stars line up? I mean, yeah, let's talk about what you see going on in the next few years.
Okay. There's go good and bad, which is kind of interesting. Now, it's fascinating to me that December 21st was a conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter, which they called the Christmas star. The last time that happened, or not the last time, but one of the times it happened was September 27th of 2 BC, which was the actual – which the Great Pyramid of Giza describes as being the birth date of Jesus Christ. Now, when you understand the Great Pyramid, though, we know that Jesus had to be born at some point about 7 BC because we know that Herod died in 4 BC. So here was my theory. My theory is in 7 BC he's born. Herod then starts hunting him. The royal family then goes to Egypt at that time. So he's 5 years old. And look, when you go to Cairo, they go, yeah, Jesus lived over there, and he went to that high school, and he played soccer over there. There's all kinds of places where Jesus used to live that they preserved for the Christian Coptics there. So if he's 5 years old and he goes through the manifestation or the initiation in the Great Pyramid also intimates, if you understand the sacred geometry, that the messianic oversoul of the God force infuses itself into the human body of Jesus at like 5 years old, and the two of them merge. This is kind of where the St. Christopher myth comes in, that St. Christopher is the messianic giant. He picks up Jesus at the Nile, and that he fuses with Jesus, if you will, so that that's the messianic figure and all that. Now, not only do we have another Christmas star, which could point to the birth or enlightenment of another Messiah, but at the same time, that conjunction guarantees that whomever comes out as president, you know, Trump or Biden, is going to die in office, is not going to finish his term. And the only thing that saved Reagan in 1980 was the fact that he turned away with the crowd. And by the way, he did not take the advice of Joanne Quigley, who was his astrologer, who said, don't leave the White House. You're going to be assassinated if you do. Stay in the White House. And he finally, after the assassination attempt, he took her advice, and he didn't leave the White House for 2 years. Even at his inauguration, he did it inside. He had guys with Laws rockets like right next to him to blow up anybody who tried to kill him. And with George Bush, and I've told this story before on the radio, I had two Secret Service agents show up at my house after talking about Bush in Europe and England. On certain dates, agents Trey and McCullough came to my house and said, we understand you have a lot to say about the assassination of the president. And I gave them certain dates and certain places he would be. And they looked at each other and said, wow, he's going to be in those places on those dates. And they spent something like $150 to $200 million on security for him in both Ukraine and England. And oddly enough, in Ukraine, somebody tossed a hand grenade on stage, which bounced off the podium. And the hand grenade was a dud. It didn't explode. And in England, they built special bridges, and they had tanks disguised as, you know, trucks. So I could say I had a little bit to do with Bush. But I can tell you that after 2003, after the original Iraq war action, Dick Cheney took over everything. When Bush said, okay, 6 weeks, we've got Saddam, we're leaving, Dick Cheney said, no, we're not. If we stay in Iraq, if you control Iraq, you control all of Mesopotamia for the next 100 years, so we're not going anywhere. And Bush basically started a downward spiral of cocaine and gay sex and beating his wife, because Laura eventually moved out of the White House. She was living at the Mayfair Hotel. The Secret Service had him trapped on the second floor so he wouldn't come down and get in fights with reporters. He was a nightmare. He's a coke addict and an alcoholic and, you know, all kinds of bad things. But he basically got removed as president by Cheney. You just didn't see it on the outside. So whoever is elected as president, that Christmas star guarantees that they'll die. And of course, everybody believes that, you know, that Biden's not really going to be the president, that he's even said he might resign. There was a funny cartoon where Kamala is saying to Joe, hey, Joe, I got you the perfect Christmas present. And it's John F. Kennedy's 1963 Lincoln that he got assassinated in, which leaves us with Kamala Harris as possibly president of the United States. I also think it's funny, and I have to just state this, that somebody was talking about how Kamala was Willie Brown's mistress. And they said, well, she was Willie Brown's mistress. And it's funny because her name Kamala in, I think, Swedish or Finnish actually means horrible. And Kamala Devi, which is her old name, actually is the seat upon which the goddess Shatlakshmi sits. So her name actually does mean mattress or sacred seat, which I think is funny. And if Kamala Harris, if that monster, the whore of Babylon, gets in as president of the United States, you know, again, there's a problem. Now, here's the interesting thing. There's a lot of interesting stuff coming up in the Mayan calendar. Now, people kind of stopped looking at the Mayan calendar on December 21st of 2012, thinking it was the end of the calendar. It was the end of that age. It was the end of that phase. But what it heralded is that for the first time in 5,000 years of that calendar, that mankind is now looking at the world and the universe, because we moved all the way to the little top building that's on top of Chichen Itza, that's on top of the Jaguar Pyramid of Tikal. That building at the top is when our hearts become one with the universe, and we develop a universal consciousness. That's why they were tearing people's hearts out and holding them to the sky, because they misinterpreted that prophecy. And then after that, we have all the blinkers taken off both the left and the right-hand sides of our brain. So suddenly we're in emergence, a convergence, if you will, of finally the right-hand side of the brain, which thinks in terms of mathematics, geometry, linear time, 2 + 2 = 4, the engineer part of the brain, now finally merging with the part of the brain that's like the crazy lady in the purple muumuu running through the field of flowers going la, 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 la. But that's the quantum part of the brain that thinks in terms of symbols, archetypes, tarot cards, color, art, music, dance, but also lives in quantum time where all the past, present, and future are happening at once. Those are merging now. And Trump is a direct manifestation of that merging, because people stopped listening to the media. They stopped listening to the news. They started getting their information from the internet. So what's their first thing to do is control the internet with Facebook and Twitter and Zuckerberg and all these other guys, you know, to create the Ministry of Truth, where Winston Smith works there to throw everything down the memory hole in 1984, and to then rewrite history in such a way so that you now have the past, because if you control the past, you control the future. Now, this is where it gets interesting. From 2012, December 21st, until December 21st of 2025 is 13 years. The Mayan calendar works in cycles of 13 years. It's called the Tun. And that 13 years is what they call, if you look at all the calendars of the Aztecs and the Mayans, are these big circular calendars, and they have a jaguar with an open mouth underneath it. And that jaguar has now swallowed humanity. And we're being processed through the guts and the belly of this cosmic jaguar, which is why this whole period of time was really going to suck. And because we're being processed by the jaguar. Now, eventually we get pooped out by this jaguar, you know, hopefully not to a world of crap, on December 21st of 2025. So this is where it gets interesting. Trump signs the First Step Act, which was supposed to free all these prisoners, which it didn't do. 127,000 people in prison. The First Step Act freed maybe 3,500 people. And of those 3,500 people, 1,800 of them went directly to ICE and were deported. So it freed a grand total of 1,300 people. And what it did is it revamped all the laws about crack and made crack cocaine the same as coke, as regular cocaine. So the majority of the people that got freed, 85% of them were black. All the guys in prison are either there for sex crimes or meth. They're getting 20 years for meth, possession of meth, dealing meth, whatever. They're all there for meth. All these Aryan Brotherhood jackasses and all these, you know, they're all meth guys. So he signs it on December 21st of 2018, which is exactly the halfway point. It's like Christmas, if you will, halfway through the dark of the night of the Jaguar. Now, here's what's going to happen. Between now and 2025, we are entering, and I've been predicting this forever, we're entering the same period when Pluto was moving through Capricorn, which happened from about 1770 until about 1765 until about 1780 plus or so. You can look it up. But Trump was elected when Pluto was in the same position it was during the Boston Tea Party, when they threw all the tea and revolted against the East India Company and the taxes and all that. He was elected on that stellium, if you will. So what is Pluto? Pluto's the underworld, and he's the guy with the scythe that's chipping away at everything. It rules Scorpio. It rules sex. It rules death. It rules regeneration. Capricorn rules the skeleton. It rules the knees. It rules constitutions. It rules banks. It rules money. It rules property, all of those things. So right now, Pluto with his scythe is chipping away at all this stuff, piece by piece. You know, and as he chips away at this, when Pluto comes to 27 degrees Capricorn, which is the point it was on July 4th, of 1776, that's the end of the country. That's the 250-year cycle of Pluto that destroys most countries. And so guess what? It hits that point in 2022. Now, it hits that point in 2022. In 2023, then it goes retrograde, hits that point again. Then it moves forward again over 27 degrees Capricorn. Then it moves into Aquarius for about 8 months. And everybody's going to think, oh, it's the age of Aquarius and everybody lovey-dovey and it's free love and free sex and free money, blah, 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 blah. Then it backs up again. And the truck backs up, kicks us in the teeth one last time until finally it moves into Aquarius, which is the true new age and massive advancements in computer technology and artificial intelligence, whatever else, to the new paradise and the new, you know, Aquarius, age in the seventh house, all that other stuff. But it doesn't happen until December 24th of 2025, which is the end of the night of the Jaguar. Now, one other thing. On June 1st of 2022, at the same time Pluto's moving through this whole conjunction of all these different points, Madame Blavatsky, who was a big Russian psychic, she channeled spirits. They used to take ectoplasmic photographs of Lord Kutumi and Archangel Gabriel and stuff coming out of her. She was a great prophetess, if you will. At the beginning, she was one of the influences on Aleister Crowley and whatever else. She predicted in the early part of the 21st century that we would see a death star in the sky. And when this death star appeared, that there would be a great culling of men and animals. Now, if you go back to the Vajra Chronicles, and people can look it up online that I did when I took a trip to 100 years from now and look back at our history, which was August of 1994, Vajra predicted a massive series of plagues, which would then be coming at the same time we went to war with China, and that China would become more dangerous, become more capitalistic, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you look at the Vajra Chronicles. The only thing he got wrong is that he was predicting that there would be some kind of radioactive device that would explode in Washington, D.C. sometime around 2025. He got that wrong. And but the future seems to have – with Donald Trump, it's like the needle came out off the record for a while, but now it's right back in the same groove of the destruction of the country, the destruction of the Constitution, the destruction of the medical industries, the destruction of the banks, all which can be heralded in by the Democrats. And Donald Trump becoming president again didn't make sense with that set of prophecies, if you will, for what's coming with the end of the United States, 250 years, because the average lifespan of a nation is 250 years. I mean, if you give you one other thing, all this massive and so on this day, on June 1st of 2022, there's a supernova that's going to appear in the sky. This supernova exploded in the year 1638, and the light has been on its way to this planet ever since then, and it's going to appear as bright as the moon. It's going to be the brightest thing in the night sky for the entire summer of that year, I think, bringing in Madame Blavatsky's prophecy, and I think that this COVID stuff that they're doing might possibly be just a dry run for when – and you and I all knew that it was going to be a plague. It was going to be a disease. It was going to be something where that was going to be why they were going to put in the chip or the barcode or the, you know, the nanotechnology or the digital angel RFID chip and mark the populace. And are you going to have a chip or a tag to say you've been vaccinated, or, you know, are your kids going to have this? And there's ways around it, but – you know, I mean, you can file UCCs, Uniform Commercial Code liens, on your children and claim them as your property and say, if you're going to rape my kid with a drug and that needle, then, you know, you're going to owe me $1 million. But then they can say, fine, you don't want to get your kids vaccinated because you're Orthodox Jewish or Roman Catholic, then you don't get to go to our school. And what's the first thing the Democrats want to do away with? Charter schools. They don't want anybody to have better schools. They want you to come to their communist nonsense. Now, if I had a bunch of money, the first thing I would do is form the Sons of Liberty Foundation, and I would fund things like Judicial Watch. But the biggest thing I would do was put together a conservative teachers organization. Because you've got the NEA, the National Education Association, which are all these communists, and they're the ones that are upping the communist agenda with teachers. When you have a conservative teacher, there's nobody to protect and defend them. You've got AMAC, which is for old people that want to be conservative. Why is nobody forming a union for conservative teachers who, when they start teaching the truth, have some aspect of defense? So Donald Trump's becoming president, even though it didn't make sense to me. I kept thinking, all right, he's going to win by a landslide, but everything fits with the prophecy of the demon rats getting in power and then somebody dying and then somebody horrible, the whore of Babylon, literally taking over to basically preside over the destruction of the country. So you see my conundrum here, right? You still there?
No, I've abandoned you. Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. You're hypnotized. I've stunned you into submission. There you go. So opinions, comments, questions about any of that. But that's the next 5 years. They're going to be tough. After that, and let me give you one last thing. Great Pyramid predicts the coming of the next Messiah. And the coming of the next Messiah, predicting, by the way, and everybody says, oh, nobody knows when it's going to happen. Well, thousands of years in advance, the Pyramid predicted the birth of Christ, predicted his death on April 1st of 33 AD, which we've now proven is Passover, was Maundy Thursday, was all of that stuff. And it now predicts the coming of the next Messiah, that there will be a great sign in the sky on September 27th of, 2034 AD. And then the next coming of the Messiah, which is where the Mayans and the Egyptians meet again on October 31st of, on October 31st of 39 AD. Hang on one second. Is when it predicts the coming of the next Messiah. Isn't it interesting? We just had a Christmas star. Is it possible that the next Messiah was born on December 21st of this last year? And that person would then be 39 on October 31st. Why Halloween? Because the pyramid celebrates it as all the people that have died is now the return of the dead, the sacred dead, if you will, through mass universal reincarnation, if you will. If you look at the Mayan calendar predicts the coming of Quetzalcoatl, and that the Quetzalcoatl would come in a one-reed year. And that one-reed year is the end of a cycle of 52 years of the Pleiades. Everybody in Mesoamerica would leave the cities. The shaman would look at the rise of the Pleiades, because the Pleiades moves across the sky every 52 years one way, and then it moves back across the sky the other way in 52 years. And our planet and our sun rotates around the central star in this neck of the Milky Way is Alcyone, which is the main star in the constellation of the Pleiades. Now, there's about 250 blue-white stars in the Pleiades, but we can see seven of them visually from Earth. But Alcyone, which is the main star, we rotate around. So, and then if it's good, everybody moves back in the cities. If it's bad, they move out of the cities and run away and build another city someplace. So the one-reed year is October 31st. Well, it's going to be 2039, when the pyramid predicts that the Messiah returns in 2039. The Vajra Chronicles predict that we're looking at massive flu plagues, a war with China, that China would take over first Japan, then Korea, then most of Australia.
Why is it the words Al-Mahdi and Medigio come to my mind?
I don't know, Mr. Reverend Rowe. Why don't you tell the people?
Well, it sort of lines up with this whole – all of these prophecies are coming to a head, huh? Everything seems to be coming to a singularity, if you will.
Well, not only a singularity, but if you know what you're doing, I mean, I've sort of combined the psychic aspect, the remote viewing access aspect, the
time wave zero.
But time wave zero also, unfortunately, as Terrence McKenna's thing, time wave zero ended in 2012 as well, and that was one of the remarkable things about Terrence when he wasn't high on shrooms, was that he saw that. But I'm telling you, a lot of things ended in 2012. Why did they end? Because now we're unleashed. We're untethered. We have access to quantum time. People can't be fooled. What you just saw, and by the way, last night, Tucker Carlson, who in my it just had a monumental Shakespearean soliloquy, one of the best monologues ever, where Tucker said, look, the government has become the Romanovs. They've become the Romanovs. They've ignored the people over and over again. You can call them conspiracy theorists. You can call them white ring crazies. You can call them whatever you want. But when you've got 80 million people who feel disenfranchised from an election, and you've got these people storming the gates, if you will, and you ignore them like the Romanovs, you know, eventually this revolution is going to come. And here's the problem with the right. And let me put this out to all the Trump people. If I had some money, you had some money, show up at a rally with a truckload of pitchforks. Show up at the rally with a truckload of torches. And if you went out there with pitchforks and torches at night, you'd make a point. The problem is the Republicans, they and all the people who are Trumpers, they don't understand the visuals. Black Lives Matter, they get it. They have good slogans. They have good signs. Antifa, they've got good slogans. Show up with a bunch of pitchforks. Show up with a bunch of torches. Show you're pissed off. And when Tucker Carlson was saying, these are the Romanovs, these people who are ignoring the will of 80 million people who know they've been fleeced, who know they've been pantsed, who know they've been screwed, who finally are getting up on their hind legs enough to get upset at what's going on. Unfortunately, God bless Trump if he does something. I mean, my suggestion is you're right. He should call out the military. You're right. He should confiscate those voting machines. You're right. He should show everything that's going on. But he laid out his case
60 seconds.
In his little rally, and he still had his best friend, Michael Pence, et tu Brute him. Where he turned around and he's got all, and look at Republican governors that he helped put in, Republican legislators he helped put in. The Republicans still took, and this is my one other prediction, not only did I say that Trump was going to win in a landslide, but watch the Democrats, but I also said that the Republicans were going to pick up 10 seats in the House, hold the House, pick up 10 seats, but I also thought they were going to hold the Senate. But what made them think that they were going to keep the Senate
30
when,
seconds.
When nothing about the election in Georgia did they fix?
What else? Sean. Thank you very much. We've got the last 20 seconds or so for one last word. I want to say thank you, and you will be back. We're going to force you to come back at some point in time every once in a while and keep us appraised. Any last words to the folks out there? 10 seconds, go.
Just let everybody know if they want to help me, paypal.me/SeanMorton108. Venmo is SeanMorton108. God is love. Life has purpose. Life has purpose. God is love. And infinite blessings to everybody. I'm just glad to be out, glad to be free, and thank you all for being my friends, because that's the most valuable thing in the universe that you can have.
All right. Thank you very much. We will talk soon. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of here. Ciao, ciao.
We can try.